CSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, testifying to Congress, the House first and then the Senate. The quote from Chairman Powell: "We moved very quickly at the beginning, and we've gradually slowed down," speaking of monetary policy. And then he adds, "We're close, but there's a little further to go with rate hikes." This is not understandable to an amateur. So I go to a professional, Veronique Dirigy of the Mercatus Center, who's been my guide on monetary policy, on the mysteries of the Federal Reserve, since the pandemic lifted and we're in recovery. Veronique, a very good evening to you. It's not quite Greenspan's complete mysterious language, but it does make me pause, as the Federal Reserve pauses, to see what I'm being told, especially that business about we're close, but there's a little further to go with rate hikes. They're not close, are they? Inflation is at 4%. We want 2%. So how can they be close? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, it's not just that we want 2%. We want 2% average. They have a long ways to go, because even if you reach 2%, it means that the average over, what, a year will be way above 2%. So either it means that the Federal Reserve has abandoned its own target, or it's the way it was measuring its target. I don't know exactly what it is. But like you, I think he's wrong to say we're close. We're not close. The economy is still running hot. The NGDP is over a year, is over 7%. If the target is 2%, we still have a significant level of inflation, and it hasn't gone down as fast as we had hoped, considering the rate hikes. And even though I understand there's a lag between the moment where the rates are increased and where they're fully operational in the economy, we should have seen much more progress. So there seems to be an optimism that is not warranted, to think that somehow the inflation is going to be conquered easily, that last bit.
The inflation story is part of the mystery. Also part of the mystery is that the Congress has not addressed spending. Would that help Chairman Powell if Congress addressed spending? Would that ease some of his burden?
Yes, it would absolutely ease his burden, especially if at least there were some talks about the fact that this enormous amount of debt that we've accumulated, there's some guarantee that it's going to be paid for one way or another, preferably with fiscal contraction on the spending side, right? But right now, there's none of that going on and none of these talks. So I think it's not helping in the fight against inflation. The other thing that's not helping is, like, interest on the debt are really going up, and they're going up fast. And the more the Fed fights inflation without Congress cutting spending, it means that you have to borrow more money to pay all these interest payments. That's increasing the debt. That's not helping. And that's putting oil in the inflation fire.
The tough-talking pundits on Wall Street, which I pay attention to because I enjoy how they, you know, pretend to chew a cigar and give out some proverb. They say they don't believe Powell. Why not? Why don't they believe him that he's going to raise rates more?
Well, because I think the last, decades or two, I mean, the market has had a history of, has seen the Federal Reserve having the markets back and always making sure that the market gets what he wants. And what the market wants is low rate. I mean, they're putting a lot of pressure. They've been very upset about this increase in rates and the fast increase in rates. And so what they've wanted for a long time was for the rate hike to stop. And whatever the reason behind the pause, right, it is possible that the market is understanding the pause as Powell is giving them what they want. And so as such, since he's done it once, why not do it another time?
Your essay at Creators Syndicate introduces me to a world I did not know about censorship, misinformation, disinformation, and monitoring. I read along saying, yes, I've heard this, I've read this, social media. But then I came to your revelation to me that Reason magazine has been warned or chastised for publishing information, misinformation? Reason Magazine is all opinion, isn't it?
Well, it's not just all opinion. It's actually, you know, it's a regular, they're all journalists, like any other, and they follow the rules of journalism, and some of them are scholars. There's a Reason Foundation side of this, so they follow the rules. And this group, so there's a British group, the Global Disinformation Institute, I think it's called, that has a ranking of news opinion and basically journalist outfit, and whether they're more trustworthy on the disinformation front or less. Basically, which one as an advertiser you can safely put your advertisement, you know, in and without having your advertisement next to articles that are full of disinformation. And basically, based on this ranking, Reason was one of the 10 least trustworthy. And it's like nonsense. The argument that are given are just absolutely, like, you just can go on the website and see that actually, you know, who wrote the article. If there's a mistake, there's the mistakes is corrected. And there's a note that basically like the New York Times. And then when you look a little further to the ranking and you realize that all the least trustworthy, outlets, they're all right wing, and all the most trustworthy outlets, they're all, with the exception of the Wall Street Journal, they're actually all on the left. So this ranking seems pretty much very ideologically driven as opposed to true analysis. Unfortunately, it's been driving the decision of advertisers. And because some of it was funded, is actually received directly and indirectly some money from the State Department, it kind of gives a veneer of respectability that, you know, that is problematic.
This is the world you live in at Mercatus, and your colleagues live in. So you're the target of somebody deciding whether you're trustworthy or not. Is that how to read this? We have less than a minute. You're seen as untrustworthy if you publish in Reason.
Well, certainly, I guess because I write for Reason, and my columns usually appear at Reason. According to this website,
right,
you know, it's like advertiser would have to be warned that if their advertisement appear next to my work, they're more likely to be appearing next to things that are this part of the disinformation and fake news than anything else. And listen, I mean, I don't have any problem with, I mean, it's stupid. And I think a lot of people have written about how this this classification is stupid. But I mean, these guys are entitled to their opinion, to their methodology, right, to do whatever they want. My problem is when they receive government funding,
right,
it gives some validity to the ranking that it shouldn't have.
Véronique de Rozière, the Mercatus Center. I'm John Mayer.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.